JC Corcoran Podcast.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. Oh, fuck.
What the hell's going on here? Oh, geez, well, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Geez, I thought we were almost finished. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Boy, this is fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous. Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that. Voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, February 7th, 2022. 276 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have known. And how you doing, kids? It's JC here at JCOnTheLine.com. Sorry about Friday. No podcast for you to listen to on Friday or across the weekend days there because I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping lately. I had this back operation a couple of months ago, and it's not sort of going too well in terms of recovery. Taking a lot of pills to try to kill the pain, block the pain, stomp on the pain. And so Thursday, I was up until about 2:30 in the morning, and when the alarm went off, it was like, ain't happening. Which is interesting because last night I was up until 3:30 in the morning and I made it today. So you tell me. But I gotta get back on track here in terms of sleeping. And then just about the time I do that, daylight saving time will kick in and I'll just start all over again. This is Super Bowl week. And I'm always entertained, I guess, a little bit by these prop bets. You know, I don't bet. I've talked about it before. I don't gamble. I've never gambled. It's sort of like cocaine. When I was much younger, I saw a lot of people basically ruin their lives with that shit. And I was just like, nah, not going to do it. And that's sort of how I feel about gambling. You're not going to believe this, but I don't even do NCAA brackets. Once in a blue moon, I'll buy some lottery tickets. But even that's dangerous. Even that's dangerous because I don't usually buy them for myself. I usually buy them as gifts. And I don't know what would happen. Let's just say, theoretically, I buy a lottery ticket for my sister and she wins $10 million. So now I have two questions. Do I get any? And how much? You know, even when you see those stories where a group of people in an office get together and buy a whole bunch. They pool their resources and they buy a whole bunch of lottery tickets. And then, you know, one of the tickets is a winner. But then there's a huge fight about who gets what because nobody put anything on paper. And then the other thing has to do with the outcome of the game. Right, the Chiefs are not playing in the Super Bowl because they lost. Nobody's going to remember that they did or they didn't cover the spread. They're just going to remember that they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And that's how I approach the game. Did you win or did you lose? And then there's the little issue of my kneecaps. I like them the way they are. And in fact, now as I think of it, I mean, you know, all kidding aside, there is a St. Louis broadcast personality, let's put it that way, who a couple of years ago established a GoFundMe page because he and his family had fallen upon hard times, and a lot of people donated the money and bailed them out, and a lot of those same people felt duped afterwards when they found out that one of the primary reasons the family got into financial dire straits is because the guy was spending money on gambling, gambled the family's money away. And I find the games plenty entertaining, whether or not I got a skin in the game or not. I watch the games to observe athletic prowess, and that's good enough for me. Anyhow, back to the prop bets here. What color will the liquid be that's poured on the game-winning coach? Red, by the way, is the odds-on favorite at 1.5 to 1, putting the chances at roughly 40%. Yellow and clear are tied for second, both at 25%. If you're getting hit with clear Gatorade, chances are it's not Gatorade. Followed by orange at 20%, blue at 12%, purple at 5%. I can't drink blue Gatorade. A couple of years back when I did my colonoscopy, I mixed that powder with blue Gatorade, and now when I look at the stuff, that's all I can think of. So that ain't happening. Another prop bet. Will the kicker hit the upright or crossbar on a missed field goal or extra point? No is the answer getting the most activity, 83%. It seems like more balls hit the uprights this year than in any previous season. I don't know about you. How many times will the chains be brought out for measurement? The over-under is 1.5. The under is slightly more likely at 55%. This is sort of on the dark side, but of course it is the NFL. Will a player leave the game and not return due to a concussion? No is the more likely scenario at 60%. Here's another one. Will any scoring drive take less time than it takes to sing the national anthem? Don't laugh. 2 weeks ago, the Rams scored a touchdown against the Bucks during a drive that took 1 minute and 15 seconds. And the anthem comes in at about 1:38. Who will win the Super Bowl MVP? And who will that guy thank first? His teammates, the odds-on favorite, 40%. No one at 29%, followed by God, 25%. How many Super Bowl commercials will have a dog in them? The line is at 6.5. There's a 57% chance it's under and 48% chance it's over. Will Snoop Dogg smoke on stage at the halftime show? Will Eminem be censored at any point during the halftime show? Will there be a wardrobe malfunction during the halftime show? In addition to Snoop and Eminem, the show will be headlined by Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar. There may be some special guests and dancers, and who knows, maybe Left Shark will return for a cameo. So will there be a malfunction leading to any naughtiness? It's very unlikely. The odds of it not happening are 97%. And as we've been saying in recent weeks, that's sort of a non-starter anyhow. There was no wardrobe malfunction. They planned that from the beginning. The latest Super Bowl commercial teasers include Lindsay Lohan saying Planet Fitness helped her with her DUI past. Megan Thee Stallion has a flamin' hottie song for flamin' hot Cheetos. I almost said Cheerios. That would be now. There's an idea: flamin' hot Cheerios. While all that's going on, you're not watching the Olympics. Well, I think the only numbers are in for the opening ceremony, and it was down by over 4 million viewers. And there's a lot of people going through the numbers trying to figure out why you're not watching. And there's lots of different theories. I'm going to go with, I don't care. And then what's her name? The downhill skier whose father died. She crashes and burns last night. Oops, did I just give something away? Such a weird time change. I don't know. It's like Wednesday in China today. I don't understand. Although, again, one of those, all kidding aside, disclaimers. China is such an awful place. It's just an awful place with all the human rights violations that some people are just sort of like, I don't want it. I just feel dirty. And in fact, a Dutch reporter's live shot was interrupted by a Chinese guard who basically dragged him off camera. I don't think they're exactly sure what was going on, but he finished the report later on. Oh, and Shaun White isn't competing for the Olympics anymore after this year. He's done with competitive snowboarding altogether. He said he wants to spend more time with his bongs. Good morning, everybody. I'm getting tired of hearing the names Joe Rogan and Whoopi Goldberg. The last we heard, Whoopi Goldberg was actually thinking about quitting the show because they suspended her for 2 weeks. Meanwhile, Joe Rogan's like, uh-oh, I'm actually in a lot of trouble here. Spotify, for right now, is sticking with him, but they deleted more than 70 old racially insensitive episodes on his podcast, meaning he was using the N-word. So they went back and they deleted 70 old episodes. For right now, Spotify is saying they're sticking with him, but 19% of subscribers say they've either canceled or will be canceling. So depending on what happens from here, if this thing starts to snowball, Spotify might have to take a stronger stance. We shall see. According to a survey by YouTube TV, the top three TV shows of all time, Friends, Seinfeld, Game of Thrones. My answer, by the way, would be Andy Griffith, The Larry Sanders Show, and The Larry Sanders Show. The only damn good TV made in the last 30 years. Also, 2 in 3 people think their own lives are interesting enough to be sitcoms. There's a war going on between Eddie Vedder and Nikki Sixx and Motley Crue. Eddie Vedder dissed Motley Crue in a recent interview, so Nikki Sixx shared his thoughts. He said Pearl Jam is one of the most boring bands in the world, and that Eddie sings like he has marbles in his mouth. Garth Brooks. I don't usually do Garth Brooks stories, but I'm doing this one because he will be getting his very first tattoo this year. Years ago, he made a promise to his daughter that he would do it, and now it's time to fulfill that promise. The reason I bring this up is because my daughter, who's now 12 years old, has decided that I need to get an earring. And she brings it up like 2 or 3 times a week now. And I just keep saying, what do I get out of that? Why do I do that? What's the outcome supposed to be? I've yet to get a satisfactory answer, but she's turning up the heat. All right, late night, almost everybody's off because of the Olympics. Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, because that's NBC, they're not on. But Colbert and James Corden are taking off, too. The only guy working is Jimmy Kimmel. He's got Keegan-Michael Key and Jennifer Coolidge tonight. This jackass thing. Somebody got to get killed, I guess, before they put an end to this whole thing. And again, this is like a lot of stuff. This is like shock jock radio. You have to keep topping yourself. And eventually, it's only a matter of time before, in an attempt to top yourself, you do something that hurts you or somebody else or produces some sort of a public relations problem. I was never a shock jock, even though I was called that. I never did shock radio, even though they accused me of it. And that's because the people who have been writing the stories in St. Louis are idiots, and they don't understand what shock radio is. When J.C. Corcoran said something today that shocked me, therefore, he is a shock jock. Yeah, that's why your newspaper has been reduced to the size of a restaurant menu. And there's good news and bad news for the Jackass Forever people, because they won the box office, $23.5 million, but PETA is not happy. They're already calling for, and get this, a criminal investigation, end quote. Oh, that story we did last week about Rudy Giuliani being the guy when they pulled the mask off, the guy in the masked singer, it turned out to be Rudy Giuliani, and Robin Thicke and Ken Jeong walked out. Robin Thicke, who is a worm anyhow, is now saying, oh, I didn't walk out because it was Rudy Giuliani. I did it because I wanted to go check on Ken Jeong. Robin Thicke is a snake. Birthdays today, Ashton Kutcher, 44. Chris Rock, 57. You can't put a man in jail for that. 57. Garth Brooks, 60. James Spader shot a movie in St. Louis, White Palace, back in the 90s, 62 today. Robert Smigel, he is Triumph, the insult comic dog. Funny guy at 62. my sister is 5 years older than me. My dad used to tell the story about how he took her to the movies once to see Pinocchio, which happened to premiere in New York on this date back in 1940. So the movie had been re-released. My sister, I think, was about 3 or 4 years old. My dad takes her to the movie to see Pinocchio. Everything's going great. And, spoiler alert, tragedy befalls Pinocchio in the movie, and my sister loses it at like age 3, 3 and a half, and has to be dragged out of the theater as she is screaming, "No, Nokio, no, Nokio." My dad used to love to tell that story. My oldest daughter, I had to take her out of Jack Frost. It was a movie with Michael Keaton. And in the movie, the little girl's father dies and comes back as a snowman, but it was very much a menacing-looking snowman. Scared the shit out of her, and we only got 20 minutes out of it. When last we spoke, there was talk of a federal mediator getting involved between the owners and the players in Major League Baseball, and then the players said, "No, we don't want any of that. Pitchers and catchers are supposed to report in a couple of days. That clearly is not going to happen." And the question now becomes, how long is this going to be going on? Man, they are playing with fire here. They're playing with fire. I love my baseball, but what these two sides are doing is so fucking stupid. I just can't get over it. Joe DiMaggio signed in 1949 at what was the first six-figure contract in the history of major leagues, signed for $100,000. Average salary in baseball now over $4 million. Blazing Saddles, released on this date, 1974. If you can imagine them trying to release a movie like that today. Ha! 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, number one on the hit music charts on this date, 1976, 46 years ago today. And again today, my sister makes the podcast twice because I remember it distinctly. I was 10 years old. And she's acting very, very excited about something. I was just, like I said, 10. She's 15. The year is 1964. And this band from England landed at Kennedy Airport in New York. 2 days later, they would appear for the first time in the Ed Sullivan Show. The story, by the way, is that Ed Sullivan was in England, and he was at the airport getting ready to take off, come back to America, and the Beatles were at the airport there in London at the same time, and he saw all this commotion and thousands of kids, mostly girls, just screaming and chanting and carry on the whole thing. And he's looking out the window going, "What the hell is going on out there?" And they're like, "Oh, it's this band, the Beatles. They're very, very popular here." And Ed Sullivan said, "Let's get them for the show." And the rest, as they say, is history. And as we have observed before, what would have happened if it was the Beatles instead of Led Zeppelin that did the song Stairway to Heaven?
She can get what she came for. fun to play make-believe, isn't it? Can you say make-believe? I knew that you could.
NHL All-Star Game over the weekend. You know, when you stop to think about it, the only real All-Star Game of the existing major sports is baseball. NBA All-Star Game, nobody plays defense. It's like a 165 to 164 final score, and it's almost gotten that bad in hockey. Football Pro Bowl over the weekend, that stunk. Oh, look here. Some airlines are now resuming alcohol sales. Seems like the timing is a little bit odd. On one hand, they're telling us the flight attendants union and the pilots and everybody is like, if you make a ruckus on a plane, we want to be able to put you on the no-fly list. And then the other side of their mouth, it's like, bring out the vodka. Huh? I'm not following the logic. My pal Brian McKenna and I used to do a show together back in the day. And on this date, in 2001, I kept having to reach over and stuff Brian's tongue back in his mouth because we spent about 2 hours hanging out with Kathy Ireland. She did not impress me. She's pretty. She's okay. Like either zero personality or thought we were a bunch of Hoosiers. And so she didn't really open up. We got nothing out of her except a couple of pictures. On this date, 1998, I was in New York doing interviews with the stars of the movie The Big Lebowski, which I didn't get. It didn't hit me. It's going to be on this week. I've got it set to record. I haven't tried to watch it in 2 decades. And I'm going to watch it again. And this time I'm going to sit there with an open mind and just see what I'm missing because I don't get it. It just didn't register with me. And on this date, 1996, we talked about it last week. I was up at the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York interviewing David Letterman one-on-one. One of the great days of my life. But I will tell you, in addition to all of that, we talked about this a couple of months ago when we did that St. Louis night. We had 3 plane loads of people from St. Louis going to New York to watch The Late Show with David Letterman. And they did it with New Orleans. They did it with Indianapolis. I think they did one with Chicago. It was St. Louis's turn. And I was in the theater all by myself with the cameraman just set up because we wanted to get that shot of the doors opening up and the crowd, you know, running into the theater and grabbing all the good seats. So I was in there by myself for about 10 or 15 minutes just standing there. And I just turned around and realized, holy crap, I'm standing within a foot of the stage where we were introduced to the Beatles and where the Stones and even the comedians, the great comedians like George Carlin. You know, we saw George Carlin for the very first time on the Ed Sullivan Show and all of that history. And I just reached over and just sort of put my hand on the stage. And it was a day I'll just never, ever forget that day. This is one of the funnier memes I saw on social media over the weekend. It says, if you live in Texas, please get vaccinated. You can't trust the Texas power grid to keep your ventilator on. All right. They're turning up the heat on Clarence Thomas because his wife is a lobbyist and there's some conflict of interest issues facing the John Danforth nominated all-time best ever Supreme Court justice. Oh, I forgot about this. Somebody posted on social media late yesterday. It says the plane we are on going back to St. Louis had Jordan Cairo on it. We were getting ready to take off, but the plane went back to the gate to let him get off the plane. Ambulance waiting for him, and now we hope he's okay. There was some speculation that he may have found out after he boarded the plane that there might have been some sort of COVID issue. And that's just rumor and hearsay. I have no idea if that's true, but that's all the information and the only speculation that I've been able to get so far. Some people thought it was a bogus post and that whoever did this was making it up, but it appears to be real. And by the way, she's got a picture of the whole thing, so who knows? They're banning books, or at least they're trying to. And of course, there is one book where the couple is nude until the authorities force them to put on some clothes. They have lots of premarital sex, end up having 2 babies out of it, 2 sons, and then one son kills the other. There's no record if these 2 people that I'm talking about were ever married, and the book is filled with violence, murder, torture. It's a bestseller, by the way. You may recall the book's title, The Bible. is the Donald Trump grip on the Republican Party starting to loosen a little bit. Here is the quote from yesterday morning on George Stephanopoulos. Here's the quote. Let's face it. Let's call it what it is. January 6th was a riot that was incited by Donald Trump in an effort to intimidate Mike Pence and the Congress into doing exactly what he said in his own words last week. Overturn the election. End quote. The comment yesterday made on George Stephanopoulos by Chris Christie. We'll be getting a little deeper into Super Bowl stuff. We started with a bunch of Super Bowl stuff today, but we'll do more of that as the week progresses here. There's usually one radio station from every major city that's invited to come to the site of the Super Bowl and set up with radio stations in a big hall or gymnasium or something like that, almost looking like a carnival midway. Stations from all over the country, usually 30, 40, 50 of them, and then they bring in NFL notables, various stars of the National Football League, and then they just hop from table to table to table, and they can hit like 30, 40, 50 radio stations in one afternoon. They're all usually plugging something like a book or an energy drink or a bag of chips or something like that, and the interviews usually are terrible, and the guys are just sitting there speculating their asses off. Everybody's trying to sell something. We actually got suckered into it once in 1996. Karen Kelly and I were invited to go to Phoenix, where the Super Bowl was there. We were more interested in Jay Leno doing the Tonight Show live from the site of the Super Bowl. That's why we were going. And I think the most famous person we got out of the deal was Jerry Rice, the NFL Hall of Famer, which, you know, is a pretty darn big deal. But that was it for the entire week. I think that was the most famous person we had. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers obviously lost Tom Brady and will probably lose Gronk as well. And now they're like, well, who the hell is going to be our quarterback? And there's some speculation that it could be the guy that they got rid of after they brought in Tom Brady, and that is Jameis Winston. And the NFL just loving this scandal about all these accusations about owners paying coaches to lose so they get a higher draft pick. And the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, and his $44 million a year salary. And by the way, how the hell is that negotiated, by the way? His agent goes into the meeting and the NFL owners say, all right, we'll pay Roger Goodell $40 million to be the commissioner of the NFL. And his agent says, 40 mil? Come on, the guy's got to eat. All right, 44. Roger Goodell may not understand this, but it's not like he can do very much with stuff like this. He works for 31 egomaniacal billionaires who pay his salary. And here are the official snow totals, by the way, from the storm last week. Quincy, Illinois, 11.5. Pontoon Beach, Illinois, 11.5. Union, Missouri, 11. And these are official totals, usually from airports. Farmington, 10.5. So much for that idiot last week who thought the snow was over when the first wave went through and he only got about an inch of ice and snow and got on social media and, the stupid meteorologists. He's picking icicles out of his ass. Good for him. Columbia got 10.1. That would be Missouri. St. Louis officially 6.7 at the airport, but almost everybody got more than that. It's like George Carlin said a long time. He said, temperature at the airport is 75, which is stupid because I don't know anybody who lives at the airport.
It was a crazy plan, but you know what they say about those? Sometimes they're so crazy, if you find the right lawyer, they just might work.
Did you or a loved one peacefully protest your way through the windows of our nation's capital last January? If so, you may be entitled to a presidential pardon.
Hi, it's Rudy Giuliani, presidential lawyer and dildo aficionado. And I want to help you to avoid unfair charges brought against you just because you broke into a federal building to protest something President Trump made up. May be eligible for a pardon if you committed any of the following patriotic acts: stealing a podium from the rotunda, stealing Nancy Pelosi's computer, screaming, wiping your blood on the walls, wiping your feces on the walls, peeing on the walls because you got scared, or trying to hang Mike Pence.
I got mace.
If you believe you've earned a presidential pardon, send a certified check for $10,000 to Rudolph Giuliani and Associates, the Ninth Circle of Hell, zip code 10004.
We're coming for you, Nancy!
Act now, and you'll also receive an official presidential dose of hydroxychloroquine, absolutely free. Warning, may cause death.
I'll get you the pardon you're entitled to. Or, just like President Trump, you pay me nothing at all.
Void where prohibited. Some restrictions may apply. Offer not valid in Alaska, Hawaii, or any of the continental U.S. states.
Jimmy Kimmel's production crew has been cranking out some awfully good stuff lately. Some awfully good stuff. All right, that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, February 7th, 2022. 276 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. Help keep us in the top 10 podcasts in the country by spreading the word that we are here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. We archive everything. You may email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com, Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. As you know, we only do politics, but it is absolutely unavoidable. And so, have a great day, and we'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.